This week's Jazzy 88 Artist of the Week is known as one of the baddest brothers in the land, according to me. Me and everybody else who loves the bass like I do. Nobody quite lays it down like Marcus Miller. Marcus, how in the world are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Well, you know, it's always, you know, an esteemed moment in my life when I get to speak to the world traveler, you know, the brother who has just knocked him dead on stages all around the world and keep producing all these great I mean, you know, this is like, my day is made. I'm done.
Oh, that's nice. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. And our Jazzy 88 Artist of the Week, Marcus Miller, this is not his first time in our spotlight. It's been a few years since Marcus has been with us. I think you had a release about maybe three, four years ago.
Yep. Yeah, it was called Aphrodisiac. That's the last time we spoke.
And we are still playing songs on that one. And and probably the one before that and the one before that. So knowing that's the case, I know the fans of the legendary Marcus Miller have probably dashed out already and picked up his latest release, Laid Back. Marcus, when was the official release date of this project?
Came out the 1st of June.
Oh, man, that's hot stuff. And already... I bet you are on the road. I heard that you have been overseas for a while. Where have you been touring?
Let's see. In July, we were in the Ukraine, and then we were in France, and then we were in Poland.
The Ukraine likes jazz.
Yeah, like Ukraine, ex-Soviet Republic, Ukraine. They love jazz over there.
It's for real.
Started our tour off. Yeah, we've been there a few times.
Okay. Well, that explains, we stream, and we've been streaming for a long time, and I see the report, the minute by minute of where people in the world are listening. We get these little ping things, and there is definitely pings in Russia and in that region. And I was like,
you'd be surprised.
I guess so. Now I know it's legit. At first, I thought it was a flaw in the system. Yeah. Wow.
No, let me tell you, where were we? We were in a place called Kazakhstan. And you know, I couldn't even show you where it was on the map.
Mm-hmm.
And we got on that stage and we started playing. They knew every song. They were singing along every note. We've been in North Africa, the same thing. We've been in Lebanon. And music is strong. Music travels. And people love it.
And since you've played, you know, for so long and are so well known and seasoned, what do you call it, or what do you think of that you all do to people to make them love you like that in foreign languages and foreign lands, as well as here at home?
Well, you hear people say music is a language. It sounds kind of corny, but it's true. You know, and a lot of these places that we've been talking about, I can't speak the language. I can barely say hello. Mm-hmm. But when we start playing, there's something about it that brings people together.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the show, everybody's moving, everybody's feeling it, on the same level. And it makes us realize how much we have in common. And I think that's the most important thing, that we make connections. I think instead of sending diplomats, they need to send us first. Love to get everybody moving and grooving together, and then they can start talking.
No question about it. So that's our secret weapon in America.
Hey, you know what? Let me tell you, it's been the secret weapon. You know, they sent Duke Ellington to England. They sent Dizzy Gillespie to Japan. You know, they sent Dave Brubeck, all these jazz musicians back in the 40s and 50s. That was their job, to go and connect with people. And it's still going on today.
Well, and I would think that we would all like to see history repeat itself, and they send you all as the envoys, as the ambassadors of how to calm your nerves. Because it just, you know, yeah, because it's too much tension, man. It's just way, way, way too much tension. And, you know, I just feel like there's something that you all just do. And I don't know what it is, but I was talking about this earlier today. And, you know, the gifts that you bring and then the ability to work with the other artists the way you do, it just does something, you know, it just takes your body and mind to a whole nother place. So for you as a musician, what kind of place do you go to when you're on the stage?
Oh, boy, when I'm on the stage, all sorts of things are going through my mind, but it's just really, for me, music is just a reflection of life. So I think about, you know, people I love, my family. I think about people I just met. Think about places I've been, about people we've lost. That's a big deal. I just lost my dad a few months ago.
I'm sorry to hear
that. We go through the whole thing. Matter of fact, I got a song that I wrote for my dad that I've been playing on this last tour. And you want to talk about connecting people. Doesn't matter what country I'm in. I tell him, you know, I lost my dad and I wrote this song and how important he was to me. Everybody can relate. So people come up to me after the show. Mm-hmm. It won't necessarily be their dad, but they say, I just lost my mom or I just lost this person. Everybody can relate to that. You know what I mean? So that's what we do. We bring people together and show them how much we have in common.
Now, what was dad's name? And was he influential in your career?
Say that again. What was that? What?
What was your dad's name? And was he influential in you in the music industry?
Yeah, my dad, his name was William Marcus Miller. William Henry Marcus Miller. So I'm William Henry Marcus Miller Jr. He played piano. He played the organ in church. Music was, you know, in his life. He had a regular job to support his family. He drove F train in New York City. But whenever he was home, he was practicing the piano. He played classical piano. Every Sunday, you could find him there on that big pipe organ at the church. And, you know, he made me feel like music was just a regular part of life. Mm-hmm. As essential as school or church, you know, music was it. And his father was the same way. His father was a preacher, but his father played the piano. Mm-hmm. My dad's cousin played the piano. He played jazz piano. My dad's cousin played with Miles Davis and Wes Montgomery. His name was Winston Kelly. So, you know,
that's legacy.
My dad was definitely like the most important influence in my musical life.
No question about it. Now, of the laid back songs that you've done, is there one on in particular that kind of reminds you of him?
Yeah, you know. The last song on the album is called Preacher's Kiss. I had done it on the last album. The last album was called Aphrodisia. Mm-hmm. And I had originally written the song for that album, and I played the song for my dad. I was glad I got an opportunity to do that. But then when he passed a few months ago, I decided, you know what, I want to do it again. I want to do a new version. So I did a new version that features Kirk Whalum and Take Six. Mm. And Alex Hahn, and we put it on Facebook. We took a video on Facebook, man. I talked about my dad. I'll tell you the response I got from that Facebook video. We put it out on Father's Day, and man, people were just like, I never got so many emotional responses to anything that I put up. You know, everybody, like I was saying, they said, hey, I lost my mom, or I lost another family member. But it's really emotional. So that's the last song on this new Laid Black album, the new version of Preacher.
Okay. So they were feeling probably the similar. So that your feelings transcended the music into the hearts and souls of the people. That's incredible.
Yeah, it blows your mind, you know, when you can make a connection like that. Really, a feeling that you can't describe.
But I mean, I think to be honest, Marcus, I think a lot of your music really does that. I mean, it just it has its own soul vibration, to, you know, for lack of a better description, but you get what I'm saying? Okay. But I mean, it just does. It just does not get old. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I'm glad you feel that way.
Well, I do, because I can go in there and play. There's one of the songs that you did on, I think it was your last project from 14. Mm-hmm. And it's a real long song. And mm-hmm. I just, you know, I set the rules and I just broke them. And because But I mean, that song is so, it's the song that you do with the bass players. I think Wooten, one of the Wootens is on there.
With Stanley Clark and Victor.
Yeah, Lord. I mean, it's like when that song is on, it just commands attention. Everybody, people are like, because it just, y'all just, and somebody would invariably always call me. Now, that has to be Marcus Miller, right? Yes.
You played that long song of ours?
Yes.
Man, well, thank you for playing that.
Oh, yeah.
What happened was Stanley Clark, who's, you know, like one of the original bass guitar heroes, he was getting an award by Bass Player Magazine, and Victor mm-hmm. Wooten and I, we were the presenters. You know, we made speeches about how important he was to us. And then the three of us played.
Yeah.
We had such a good time, we decided to do a tour. Three bass players in the same band. And it was a big tour. We did it for like 2 years. And the album is called Thunder. And the group is called SMB, Stanley Marcus Victor.
That is it. That is straight it. Now, you know, that can only happen on a station like this one, right?
Yeah, it's not like many stations are going to play, you know, a record with three bass players on it. Especially a long record.
Well, you know, we're soul ties, you know. And I mean, I'm sorry, y'all, but, you know, it is what it is. This is an HBCU. How dare we water it down?
Right, that's right. I hear that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was talking with Bibi, your publicist, and I told her, I said, you know, we're a Billboard reporter. And I said, well, can I report Marcus in there? I mean, you know, because every time one of your projects comes out, mm-hmm. I put it into regular rotation here. And I do realize that my ads are unorthodox. I got that. So I just want to make sure that the record reflects that, you know, you have support at stations like ours, even though, you know, you might not know it.
No, I know it. I know, because we see all those reports. And it's like another part of the music. How much radio support you get. That's how people get to know that the music exists.
Yeah.
It's very important.
So you're seeing our spins, you know, you would get the report to tell you. Okay, cool. Hey. See?
So thank you for the support.
You're welcome. You can look me up and say, you know, this station been playing my stuff deep.
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. Thank you.
You are certainly welcome. Absolutely. And let me remind the audience, this is Jazzy 88's Artist of the Week, and it's a privilege to get the opportunity to chat with the legendary Marcus Miller. And I do mean legendary. And Marcus has a new release out, Laid Back. And we're excited as can be to be playing several cuts on there, the nine cuts. Now, Marcus, you talked about cut number 9, which was about your father. Who, and on number 3, what are 7 T's? Who is that? What's that all about?
7 T's. You know why I call it 7 T's? It's called, like, it's the 7 T's, but it's just 7 because the song has one of those throwback old school feelings to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, man, this song reminds me of the 70s. Instead of calling it 70s.
Oh, my God. Right. Okay.
But Trombone Shorty's on there.
Okay. Okay.
He killed it, man.
Yes, he does.
Still some work on that.
So that's a play on words. I was late to lunch. Okay.
Yeah, you know what? The name of the album is even a play on words. The name of the album is Laid Black. Normally,
they laid back. I didn't even say black. I said back, didn't I? Laid black.
Yeah, but I figured I was playing. Laid back is like, chilled out. But laid black, trying to show people that all these different styles of music, rap, hip-hop, rock and roll, jazz, they all come from a black foundation. Black is at the foundation of all these different styles of people. And it's important for people to remember that, because people can forget. And they start, especially when you have so many people from so many different parts of the world playing these styles. I want to make sure people remember how it got started. You know what I'm saying?
I'm so glad to hear you say that. And that discussion, do you pass that on generationally to the next generation so that they're really clear as you, I'm sure you probably mentor or work with the younger set, or they probably look up to you as a role model. What kind of questions and comments do you have with them as they are trying to, learn from you?
Well, I try to encourage young people to play an instrument. Young people have so many ways to spend their time these days. They got their cell phones, and they got video games, stuff like that. And so not as many young people are drawn to mastering an instrument. It takes so much time, so much work, that, sometimes they'd rather do other things. But, man, there's nothing like playing an instrument. But what I tell them is, you know how many 40-year-olds come up to me and say, man, I wish I had stayed with that piano, or I wish I had stayed with my guitar or my saxophone. I wish I continued. I stopped when I was a teenager, and now I wish I had continued. So I try to tell young people, man, there's nothing like playing an instrument. Also, you need to know your history, in general, and also music. Because a lot of the hip-hop records you hear, the music that you hear, the hip-hop records, are actually records that came out in the 70s and the 80s. So you need to know about that. You need to know about the artists who created that. Because we don't want them to face obscurity.
Well, and if people don't pass that information on, they may not ever know. So, that's I'm grateful to you. Because, you could be in your own world and not even think like that. Marcus, but you're so deep that we would never have to worry about you. You're just deep. I forgot to ask you on the front end, tell the audience who wrote and produced it, which is probably you, but who some of the musicians are that are with you on this project.
Oh, well, the name of the album is Laid Black. It just came out a couple of months ago on Blue Note Records. And, I wrote most of the material. The special artist I have, Kirk Whalum, I'm sure you're familiar with him. He even lived in Nashville.
Yes,
for a while.
He is. I'm the president, unofficial president of his fan club. I said unofficial, right?
Yes. Well, I don't have to tell you about him. You're the official president.
Thank you.
Okay. I think I mentioned we got Trombone Shorty on One Cut. We have a singer from Belgium who will blow your mind. Her name is Sela Sue, and you don't know she's from Belgium when you hear her sing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just crazy how this music is coming from so many unusual places. Mm-hmm. You got people from Asia, from Thailand, who are singing R&B. People from England, of course, that's nothing new. Mm-hmm. You got people from Belgium, all over the world, mm-hmm. Being influenced by our music. So mm-hmm. She's a guest star. She sings a song called Que Sera Sera,
mm-hmm.
which is the second cut on the record. She sounds beautiful on that. And then I got my young band, like 20-something-year-old guys. Mm-hmm. They're just breathing fire. Saxophone player named Alex Hahn, who's been mm-hmm. with me for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He's killing. Brett Williams is the piano player, and you're going to be hearing a lot more from him. So really good band, and with some cool special guests also.
Now, the Que Sera Sera, that's like the Doris Day song from way back, right?
Yep, Doris Day. It came out maybe the 60s, maybe even the 50s. So I think it came out in the 60s. And it was just a straight song, straight, like, you know, vanilla pop song. But then Sly and the Family Stone got a hold of it in the 70s, like 1973. And they flipped it, and they put gospel feel on it, put some soul in there. And I always loved that version. So I was really inspired by the Sly version. So we just came up with it.
Well, I love it. I love it. I love it. And I would say for fans of Marcus, this CD goes well in the car, in the house, at work.
Yes. Wherever you are.
Yes, yes.
But you know what's funny? You know what's funny these days? When we finish the mixes, when we finish recording it and then we mix it, we have to do the car test. So we take it to the car, and drive around, listen to it, and see if it sounds good in the car. Because music sounds different in the car.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
And I play bass, so sometimes I'll put it in the car and I'll listen and go, you know what, the engine is covering up my bass. So I'll go back in the studio and turn the bass up. You know what I mean? So you can still hear it when you're driving.
So you got your own car windows rattling, huh?
And then you go into different people's cars. You know what I mean? Like, hey, let me try this out in your car. Every car is different. You want to make sure it sounds good everywhere.
So it's been road tested, y'all.
Road tested, exactly. Literally.
Oh, my God. That is. I never knew that. I just thought it was just us that, you know, when we travel, we like to hear, you know, great sounds. Because you just you hear portions that you know. You're enclosed, encased in there. You don't, no interference, you know.
You've got no interference. It's just you and the music. And then we also, these days, we got to test the music out on earbuds, you know, like headphones.
Yeah.
A lot of people are listening to music like that now. So we got to make sure it passes that test also.
Well, what of these 9 cuts couldn't have possibly passed the test? Because I can't imagine anything that wasn't tight and right. Come on.
No, the songs, they sounded good, but you just want to make sure, like I was saying, you want to make sure the bass comes clear, comes through clearly, make sure that, you know, you can hear all the instruments clearly, and it sounds good. I like the songs. The songs are cool. You just want to present them in their best light, you know.
Now, let me ask you about, I think the song is called Keep 'Em Running, cut number 8. Is that Larry Dunn that used to be in Earth, Wind & Fire?
Yeah, that's Larry Dunn who used to play in Earth, Wind & Fire. I just got off the phone with him.
I'm like,
hey, man, we redid your song, Larry, you know, because he had the song, he and Maurice White. And one other guy, Eddie Del Barrio, they wrote this song, Running for Earth, Wind & Fire. It was on the All in All album. Always one of my favorite songs in, like, I think the early 80s.
Yeah.
But we flipped it, you know, we put a little hip-hop trap feel to it and did our own version of it. My son, Julian Miller, who's 27 years old, he got in there with me. He does a little rapping on there. And so I was a little nervous to play it for Larry.
What did he say?
He called me last week. I said, hey, man, I said, I'm going to send this to you, man. I want to get your blessing. He called me and said, man, I love what you did to it, man. You know? He said he had done a few versions himself, but he usually stuck more closely to the original. I said, well, I know you've done your own version, so I figured I had to send it like hard. like make it something new.
Yeah,
he loved it. I was
good
glad.
Oh man, that's I guess that is honoring one of those songs, you know, that people will. Whenever you pull out your Earth, Wind & Fire collection, you know, they.
You know what I liked about it?
What's that?
When I first heard it, because it's mostly on the Earth, Wind & Fire version. It's mostly instrumental. And with Earth, Wind & Fire, we all love Earth, Wind & Fire, but I was always drawn. The instrumental things, like to really hear the musicians doing their thing, you know, and this is one of those songs.
Well, to me, I thought I in my early days, the instrumentals versions and the long endings and all that kind of stuff, or the instrumental beginnings before they got to the vocal, was always my favorite parts anyway. You know, to hear, you know, Maurice and the rest of the cats that sang. But I mean, because those dudes could blend those instruments, man. Lord have mercy. Unbelievable. Now, Marcus, I got to know, since, you know, you're equally as bad as these, you know, through the annals of time, when you don't want to, when, you know, you're chilling, you know, with the family and you home and all that, are you the kind of man that, musician that, you know, you don't want to hear nothing, or you have a certain kind of music? What, where are you musically on the scale?
Oh, you know, I'll play all sorts of stuff. I'll play Miles Davis from the 1950s. I'll play some, put some Kendrick Lamar on, see what he's up to these days. And then lots of times I can't play anything because it interferes with the music that I'm hearing in my head. You know, because when you're a composer, when you write music, you always have these musical ideas floating around in your head. So sometimes you have silence so you can hear what's going on, come up with your next tune. So a little bit of both. Sometimes I need silence, other times I need to hear my music. You know?
Yeah.
I play some old Luther Vandross that we used to do.
Okay.
I played with Luther back in the day for a long time. A lot of music we wrote together. Sometimes I play that and remember him because, you know, we met him terribly.
Mm-hmm.
Play some Miles Davis, mm-hmm. you know, who we miss also.
Yes.
I like to listen to the greats, you know, that we don't have anymore.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful to have their music because they left so much of themselves in this music. It's almost like this. So deep.
Yeah. No question. And you just miss, you know, you just miss it because that was, you know, a different... coming from a different place stylistically, and you just missed that purity of that. Did you, what years did you play for Luther?
Let's see. I played bass on Luther's first demo, Never mm-hmm. Too Much.
Yeah.
And that demo ended up becoming his first record, so I played on Never Too Much.
Mm-hmm.
And I played on just about every album all the way up through Song for My Father. So, we were in Roberta Flack's band together. We were backup musicians for Roberta Flack
back a
long time ago.
Wow.
And he said, hey, man, I got some ideas for myself. I want to try to become my own artist.
Hmm.
And he said, can you play on my demo? I said, sure. So I played on his demo. And then we played like four songs. There were four songs from the album that became Never Too Much.
Hmm.
And then he took those four songs around New York City to all the record companies mm-hmm. trying to get a record deal.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, took maybe about a year, eventually he got signed to Epic Records.
Mm.
So we went in and recorded, you know, a few more songs to finish up the record.
Mm-hmm.
And it came out. It was an instant smash, you know. Mm. House is not a home.
Oh, Lord.
Never Too Much, don't mm-hmm. you know that?
Mm.
So I was with Luther from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped touring with him after a couple of years because I was producing other people like mm-hmm. Miles and David Sanborn and Chaka Khan. So I wasn't on the road with him so much, but we worked in the studio for like, I don't know, 25 years.
Really?
Yep. So the songs we wrote together, let's see. It's Over Now, Till My Baby Comes Home.
Mm, Lord.
Tonight I Fell in Love.
Mm.
Any Love,
Mm-mm-mm.
Power of Love. You know, Luther had a lot of love songs.
All these are number one songs.
Don't Want to Be a Fool.
Oh, my God.
All sorts of stuff we wrote together.
Mm-mm-mm. Lord have mercy. Now, I know the old schoolers could testify right now. I know they could.
Yeah, this is all old school.
Yes, stuff. Lord.
But it was cool, man.
Yes, sir.
You know, I lived on 58th Street, and Luther lived on 60th Street in Manhattan. So I'd make my little demos. And then put them on a cassette that shows you how far back we're going.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd go to his house and leave the cassette in his mailbox. And then he'd call me from the car. You know, he said, I got your cassette in, man, and I'm playing your demo. Because I sent him a demo with no singing, just the music. And then he'd call me from the car, and he'd be singing to the demo. And you have not heard anything as cool as Luther Vandross calling you from his car singing what he's coming up with to sing against your demo. It's just like, man, this is awesome. We also wrote Jump to It. Poor Aretha Franklin. You remember that song?
Yes. That was back in the heyday right there. Yes, Lord. Yeah. Well, see, that's why, Marcus, you are beloved. Because you span, from Miles Davis all the way up. And, you just, the artists that are, we don't care. We just love them, period. And we'll always honor and respect their music. And then you right there. like, Lord. that's why it's personal. I was at sitting at a table at a meeting here on the campus. And one of my coworkers leaned over. He said, I heard Marcus Miller got a new CD out. Y'all playing? I said, we got Marcus Miller. I said, boy, what you talking about? Don't even ask me that question. Well, I need to come up there and see y'all. I said, I know you do. But, and I didn't even know he even knew of your music or was even hip to it. I was just so surprised. He just leaned over.
Right. No, I know that.
I'm like, please. I done interviewed him about 5 times. Marcus, I wanted to mention this before we get ready to close. When Doc Powell played at the Music City Jazz Festival, did you work with Doc? Because he did some guitar work with Luther. He was Luther's.
Matter of fact, it was Doc. It was a piano player named Nat Adderley Jr., who he's Cannonball Adderley's nephew.
Yes.
Cannonball Adderley, legendary jazz saxophonist. Doc, Nat, German name Yoki Horton.
Mm-hmm.
This was Luther's rhythm section. And Luther used to cut these tracks live today, where somebody makes music with a computer and then the singer comes in by themselves and adds their voice to the music. No, Luther was there with us in the studio.
Mm.
Matter of fact, a couple of songs, he would call Doc out by name. You know, James Brown used to call out Maceo?
Yes.
Luther would say, this man is the doctor. This man showed up. That means coming with the guitar, Doc.
Yes, oh yes.
So, Doc Powell played a huge part in the band chart.
Well, I just tell you, I met his wife, Charlene, and his daughter. And, I met all of them. I've interviewed him 4 or 5 times like I have you. And because I had never, you have these phone conversations and you talk with people. But when you finally see him, you feel like you've been knowing him forever. And he seems like that kind of cat,
Doc is a beautiful musician. And, he's been doing his thing, making his own records.
Yeah.
He's been the musical director. I think he might have been the musical director of Kirk Franklin for a while. Doc and I used to play in small, tiny jazz clubs back in the early late 70s. Just playing jazz, 30 people in the audience. You know what I mean? So we go way back.
Mm. Well, there's probably not anybody out there that you don't go way back with, okay? come on, Marcus, now for real.
and the thing is,
you
go back, but you got to keep going forward.
Yeah, you do. Yes, you do.
So that's the trick.
Yeah, yes, you do.
Your history week into the future.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you right now, I'm advocating for the 2019 Music City Jazz Festival as our legend. I'm advocating right now with every vote I have, okay? Marcus Miller. So I'm just saying, y'all.
That happens in downtown Nashville?
Yes. Yeah, this will be, 19 will be our fourth year. And, yeah, so, we're trying. And as Nashville's Jazz Station, we have been there since inception, and a year prior to that with the discussion of could it happen, and here's so I've been at the table the whole time, so I get 2 votes. Marcus and Miller, I got the both hands. That's real. But we try to Marcus, we tried as the station, we had WFSK is 45 years old. This is our 45th year. And this is Nashville's Jazz Station. If anybody understands and knows this music, it is this place right here. And for us to do the watered-down Milk Toast version, the devil's a lie on that. That's not going to happen.
they still got the Jubilee Singers over there?
Yes, sir. Yes, they're still going strong.
You know what's interesting? You know, you ever heard of that group, Ladysmith, Black Moon Bazzi?
Yes, I have.
The African, you know, the African singers from South Africa?
Yes, I have.
A gentleman told me that, you know, we always think, oh, that's the original African music, you know, and that's the roots, that's the source. Turns out, the Fisk Jubilee Singers did a concert in South Africa. Mm-hmm. Like in the 1920s, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the South Africans heard them. And that music that we hear from South Africa now, that Ladysmith type music,
mm-hmm.
that was them imitating the Fisk Jubilee singer.
Really? Really? Now, so see, everybody learned something today. Wow.
Yeah, it goes back and forth. But we influenced them, and then they influenced us.
Wow.
So I thought that was really amazing.
Wow. So, well, that's how Nashville got the moniker Music City, was through the history of the Jubilee Singers and Fisk. You know, the singers, they still, you know, travel the world and et cetera. But every year, you know, you have to try out to become a Fisk Jubilee Singer, and it is very tense. You know, yes, it is, because you just can't be a regular singer.
You got to come with it.
Yes, Lord. Yes, sir. Or you will not even begin to get anywhere near. So I'm just saying it's perfection in that area.
Wow.
And we are indeed quite proud of them. And
absolutely.
Oh, yes. And just so proud and of the legacy. And the more that people know, because, you know, a lot of people here in the city, Marcus, they really do not know the significance of the Jubilee Singers in what they've done for music in this country. They really do not know. Okay.
Right.
So hearing you say that, and you're not even here, is a tribute to them. Plus, you know, they're probably learning from hearing you say that.
Yeah, they influenced. You know, because they were one of the original taking music all around the world.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
They influenced a lot of people.
Yes, sir.
Those folks in South Africa.
Well, I tell you, if you get to come to Nashville, and I'm going to be talking to the Lord when I get off this microphone. I'm going to say, hello, Jesus, it's your girl. we need to get this done. But I do hope that if you do are here that, you know, you can come over to the campus and, you know, take you over there to the department and let you meet, you know, Dr. Kwame and Jubilee Singers. They would just be floored to have a visit. So we have to do that, okay?
Absolutely. Sounds like a plan.
Marcus, I hate to go, but, you know, because I feel like it's, you know, I could talk and I could get some stories and some more stuff. But I know you're been traveling and, you know, you're probably a bit tired. But I just want to thank you so much for everything you do. Just everything that you do musically and for humanity, period. Okay?
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
You are certainly welcome. And for people to get your travel schedule and all that, just go on your website.
Yeah, MarcusMiller.com, get all of that. And then Facebook and Instagram. The Real Marcus Miller is Instagram.
The Real, y'all. Don't be getting the fake. Get the Real.
Don't get the fake. The Real.
Please, get the Real. Because you get the fake, ain't no telling what you're going to get.
Amen. That's true.
Yes, Lord. Well, we wish you only the best. And I just thank the Lord for your rich talent. And again, I want to tell you, I'm giving you my condolences. I'm sorry to hear about the loss of your father.
Oh, thank you very much. He's 92 years old.
Wow.
So I can't be but so disappointed, you know, but, you know, it's still difficult.
Yes, I understand completely. Well, God bless and keep you, and we will be in touch with you.
Okay, you too. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.